And good morning once again, and welcome to another of these endless episodes with turning points and plots and subplots and all kinds of mystery on the other side of midnight, that magic time between dusk and dawn where, you know, the things we just kind of take for a lark during the day, but this time of night when the noise goes down and we can focus, sometimes we find a gem. And I think that's what we have this morning. And to lead into that, I want to do a couple things. I'm really trying to get someone to comment on the president's trip to Patagonia and that most remarkable former Nazi stronghold post-war, taking NASA people with him. I mean, the implications, the speculation, the scenario playing we could do would take many shows. We're going to restrict it to one. We're going to, you know, maybe next week when the president's actually on travel. Ideally, I'd like to get someone from Argentina, someone in the news media, to kind of, you know, give us a blow-by-blow. But, you know, that's all kind of up in the air. We're working on some things behind the scenes, so there could be surprises. Now, for tonight, for this morning, if you go to othersideofmidnight.com, that's our homepage, and you click on Radio with Pictures, remember, upper right-hand corner, and that will take you to the guest page for tonight. And once you've done that, you simply click on that, and that takes you, you just kind of scroll down, and that will take you down to our links tonight. And I only have one link for my part of the show, which is a stunning link. Apparently, there are some folks in, the medical community who have discovered that what they can do now with light, in terms of light therapy, LED technology, the kind of, you know, medical technology that Robin has been discussing for years, that she provided to Art, that he's been using to incredible efficacious effect for some of his medical issues, that this same kind of light therapy now can intervene, intercede, interrupt Alzheimer's. And their operative theory is that what it's doing is somehow triggering memories that are buried somewhere in the brain and can be activated by basically exposure to photons of the right frequency and the right wavelength and the right repetition. So, I mean, this is incredible. So if you go to that link, there's a very nice story from Fox News Health, which we have up there tonight, and it'll take you into another realm, because there are some folks who believe that this light therapy, in fact, is part of the whole torsion field that we've been discussing. That the way that it works is if you actually activate mechanisms to repair cell structure, which is what the mainstream thinks that this light therapy is doing, in fact, what you're also doing is reactivating underlying DNA, and if DNA is an antenna, and the antenna is tuned to the torsion field, and in fact we and all our memories are kind of a virtual reality, and it's really a projection into this 3D from a higher set of dimensions, that's really where we hang out, and you know what we're working with here is simply, you know, kind of an archetype, an icon, then what we might be seeing in this therapy is simply restructuring the antenna, the DNA, so that the original information can get downloaded again. Maybe it's not stored in the brain at all, which, of course, is the mainstream model. And as we've been exploring in terms of consciousness on this program now for months, there is a lot more to reality and science than the mainstream model. Which leads me, I'm hoping elegantly, into my guest of this morning. Because my guest and I are going to be discussing another aspect of hyperdimensional torsion field physics. And we're going to be talking about something like charge carriers, except it isn't really charge, it's more like memory carriers, and what does the substance do, and what is it carrying, and where is the memory from. And it really connects to this amazing Fox News Health story. Because if there's one underlying field, you know, the matrix, the torsion field, whatever you want to call it, and we're looking at various aspects, like, you know, the classic seven guys blindfolded, you know, and whole massaging an elephant and trying to figure out, you know, what part of it and what kind of an animal, long and ropey, you know, big like a house, small, you know, sharp implement. Anyway, the thing is that the more you look at a scientific issue from a different direction, the more complete your picture ultimately becomes. So we're going to be looking at the field tonight from the perspective of a researcher who's been involved in this quite a long time. I'm going to get into the details momentarily. His name is Jason Verbelli. Now, Robin and I met Jason many, many years ago. In fact, Jason admitted in an email tonight to Robin that on her show, her old show, not the new show on Revolution, but the old show, Jason was, it was the first time he'd ever been interviewed on the radio, was by Dr. Falkov. So she says hi, and I'm sure Jason says hi back. We'll find out in a minute when we open his mic. Jason says, ever since I was a young child, I've been interested in the mystery of magnets, static electricity, and bridging science with spirituality. From spending time with monks at the Shaolin Temple in China, to meeting with PhD-level scientists, I've developed a strong understanding of physics rooted in philosophy. I've known since I was 4 years old that there was more to harnessing energy with our own bodies. Being a witness to UFOs and through years of personal research into suppressed technologies, I also became convinced that much of the science and history we know is severely incorrect, and even at times akin to disinformation. One of my passions is creating water structurizers. Say that three times in a martini. This technology can revolutionize how we interact with our environment, with each other, and ourselves. Along with developing water structurizers, I believe we can, right now, develop sufficiently advanced technology to make Star Trek and many Hollywood sci-fi adventures seem primitive in comparison. We have the ability to reverse nuclear radiation, clean the water and air, and even understand phenomena like telekinesis. Bringing these modern technologies and ancient understandings to the public is a crucial key to unlocking our own freedom. And I might say, as an editorial postscript, obviously the raison d'etre for Jason Verbelli's life. Jason, welcome to the other side of midnight.
Thank you so much for having me, and I wanted to thank your listeners for giving me the time.
Well, we only got 2 hours, so let's get right to it. How did you wind up falling into this vortex? Because each of us has our own path. Sometimes I'm going to bore the listeners with mine or some of mine. But I'm always interested in background, because when you're looking at information which is not sanctified by the church, the academic community, you have to build a picture, a 3D picture of who the person is who's presenting you this stunning, amazing, and most times very contradictory information to what you hear, you know, from other sources. So how did you wind up being on the other side of midnight tonight?
Well, I wanted to start with a quote, one favorite quote of mine, by Arthur C. Clarke.
Ah, and good old Arthur.
It says, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Yep.
And that is what led me to all of what I'm interested in now. And is the magic of magnets, firstly. And I started playing with these things at a very young age, maybe 6 years old. Hmm. Yes, I was able to play with them. I took them off of the refrigerator first and then started messing with them until I was about 6 years old and given my first set of magnets and a little science kit. And I took these things around with me. I asked my friends, my family, daycare center and school.
Oh, my God. You were a real pain in the you-know-what.
Unbelievable. Always had my hand up and trying to ask questions that weren't relevant to what they were trying to teach. And when I asked about these mysterious pieces of metal, these magnets, you know what these people said to me? They said, oh, that's just magnets. I said, what? Yeah, I know, but I'm asking what they are. Don't you see this repulsive force? Don't you see this mystery? It can move without touching. Mm. It can do things. And it was just complete disinterest on the part of everybody who I would seek out to ask these questions.
Was that when you began to wonder if you really belonged here?
Yes, exactly.
How did I know? Okay, go
or
ahead.
Or at least the how am I surrounded by so many people who were so dense or disinterested in what I held to be sacred and the keys to understanding, you know, how am I moving my body when I think? You know, my mind is moving this and I'm able to move, so this magnet is moving something outside of its body. Maybe I can move something outside of mine.
You know what's so weird is that, obviously, I've had similar experiences and very similar ages and similar experiences, except I got regularly, you know, expelled from school for asking, you know, very impertinent questions of science teachers. One in particular, God, I can remember. Anyway, digression. How did you wind up reconciling the idea that everybody around you was kind of, you know, there's a huge spate of shows now, The Walking Dead. Well, these folks are the walking dead. They have no curiosity. They just assume if it's there, it's there, and they move on without asking, obviously, what really got you, which was, how the hell is this going on? What makes it work? And that was the magic. So from there, what happened?
Well, I would ask people what their perspectives were, and they would give me explanations that were completely unsatisfactory. And I knew within myself that there was something more to these things, and it was the key to understanding getting off of gasoline, getting off of the world. As I grew up, it's always been, you know, clean up the pollution, worry about this, how are we going to get rid of the plastic, and presented with problem after problem after problem. And if you focus on those, well, then you're just going to be submerged in problems. But I've always been trying to interested in the solutions. Okay, we can be bombarded with all of these problems, but there is a solution for everything. And some things are much better than others. And what I've been studying and researching seems to be much better than what we are currently doing today.
Well, almost anything would be better than what we're currently doing. We're basically blasting mountains into smithereens, smothering surrounding wildlife and ecosystems in the detritus of the destroyed mountains, dumping millions of tons of plastic in the oceanic gyres that wind up washing up on strange shores and polluting, you know, fish to where the habitable layers of the ocean are disappearing. We could go on all night just in what we're doing wrong. So at what point in your education, because I presume you started out in the, you know, six, 8 years old. At what point in the educational process did you get the idea that maybe they're not telling me the truth here either?
That was, again, around elementary school when I started asking about how the sun worked and what the heck is a black hole. And nobody could answer me about magnets. Nobody could answer me about these questions. And I knew these people didn't know what they're talking about. And they are feeding us information in books that they might not necessarily understand. They're just going by what's in front of them. And I was taught by my mom, he who wins the wars writes the history books.
Mm-hmm.
So there is always more to what is going on than what we are taught, because what we know is just dominance over somebody else, and that information previously was buried.
Well, this is obviously part of a long personal evolution on your part. Let's get to the good stuff. What was the first experiment you did or you read about that you said, oh my God, this really does violate what we think we know, but I got to keep going?
Well, one thing is with structured water, or so-called structured water.
Yeah, you're going to have to define what structured water is now.
Yes. Now, let's see if I can give an accurate depiction of it. Structured water is H2O, but it has a different spin to it. Everybody knows H2O is the Mickey Mouse ears.
Mm-hmm.
But one of those Mickey Mouse ears...
By the way, do you know that that angle is twice the Great Pyramid angle, 104 degrees?
No, I did not.
And the two little oxygens, you know, the Mickey Mouse ears on the hydrogen, twice the pyramid angle. Anyway, go on.
Now, I was actually fortunate enough a couple days ago to speak with a man named Steven Settlemyer, and he works with a Gerald Polak, and they together wrote this book called The Fourth Phase of Water. And what they are, what they have been studying, what I'm trying to describe here is the state of that water, which is different than normal water. Now, one of those Mickey Mouse ears, let's say, is spinning clockwise, and the other one is spinning counterclockwise normally. Uh-huh. Now, what these guys do is put it into an electric field after distilling it multiple times, which seems to make it more elastic and easier to split when you send an electric charge through it. So what they do is they split it, and it recombines, and those Mickey Mouse ears are spinning the same direction. Mm. And when those molecules are chained together, it makes for something like a liquid crystal, like graphene, or nanotubes, or a 2D sheet that is like a crystal. Extremely beneficial and something different.
But we're talking just water now.
Just water.
But water which has been kind of reformulated so that it's spinning. The molecule internally is spinning differently. Folks who've been following our work and this show for some time know that one of the hallmarks of hyperdimensional torsion field physics is rotation, rotation, rotation. So by putting in the right rotation, that's how they get the water to exhibit some very interesting properties, which are...
Well, one property is, normally when you mix oil with water, the oil sits on top of the water because it doesn't mix. And if you want oil and water to mix, you have to mix something called a surfactant, like dishwashing soap. And what it does is it just allows for the oil and the water to mix. Well, with this type of H2O, you don't need any additional chemicals to make the oil and water mix. That's very strange to me.
Oh, so it makes it really, really, really wet.
Extremely. Now, it retains more energy, like almost like a battery. And when you water plants with this stuff, it will have exponential growth. Now, this is what interests me, because plants don't have placebo. Now, you can have people claiming they...
You can't have a plant that says, oh, I have a headache. I don't want to take my medication today.
Yeah, or you're claiming that you're drinking this water, but you're fooling yourself into thinking that, okay, this is doing better than tap water.
Right.
Well, water some plants with it over the course of, you know, weeks and see what happens. They don't lie. Plants can never lie. And so when you water with this special type of water, which I'll get into later...
See, I'm just kind of curious. I'm just kind of curious, Jason, how you came in through the water doorway. I mean, I came to this through the Martian doorway. Everybody knows the story. But you came in through the water doorway. What was it in your evolution, your consciousness development, and looking and asking questions and, you know, being a pain in the you-know-what, which got you fixated on water? I mean, you're 90-some% water, but we all are. So
after the next. And really, it was the magnets and how magnets can benefit so many things. And when I saw, there's a guy named Dan Winter.
Dan Winter, and, know his work, yes.
And he has a device called the Super Imploder. And what it is magnets that are forced together, even though they want to repel. Mm-hmm. And then you send water in a vortex through those fields. And when you water plants with them, they grow.
Oh.
Like, wait a minute, something about the magnets forcing them together. First of all, that was a new concept.
Right.
Forcing these magnets together creates some benefit that changes the state of water. So I'm thinking, that sounds kind of funny. So I'm looking into it, I'm researching, and sure enough, there are products out on the market now that you can put on your gas line of your car or your water heater, where there are magnets that are said to soften the water just from the magnetism. So, mm-hmm. Wait a minute. This guy is claiming it can make plants grow, and it can help heal you and feel better and prevent disease. Now, there's a difference between healing a disease and preventing it altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think the point of all of this is.
Or restoring the template.
Correct. The DNA signature, the cell structure.
See, that's why I'm so excited about this Alzheimer's breakthrough, and I think it's over in England, because I've been watching these LED helmets, and we've actually used them here, and Robin has been saying lately that her memory seems to be so much better about, you know, really weird little tales, little tiny things. And I'm just wondering, you know, obviously there's one reality. The reason we all talk about different terms and different things is because we all look at it from different directions. We do different experiments. We follow different gurus. We read different, you know, papers. It's a collage out there. It's a jungle, a very confusing jungle. So when you get independent confirmation of the same interesting stuff, you just resonated with the idea that the water, when you subject it to these 3D forces, electromagnetism, somehow develops an ability to imprint, to bring information into this reality that previously did not exist. So
correct.
Then the question is it triggering, as I asked at the top of the show, is there a therapy simply triggering what's already in the brain, or is it creating a better pathway to a higher dimensional source of information, the template to repattern what's going on in this matrix?
I think it's repatterning it from within. And that brings me to something like the work of Dr. Masaru Emoto.
Ah, yes.
Which says that you can encode information into water. And that took me a long time to understand. And what I think that means is, give an example. You have a plate of food in front of you. Bring that hot plate of food away. The table is still warm in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because there is an energy signature left behind, a thermal signature. But there are other signatures left behind, not just heat. Anything that passes through water is said to leave its energy signature, its imprint, its essence or aura or whatever you want to call it. Any antibiotics in the water, any fluoride in the water, anything that's been subjected to,
well, this is
even
the basis
though you might
of,
filter it out, it still has the essence in it.
That is the
theory behind this.
This is the basis of homeopathy. You know, you just kind of introduce water to a particular substance, then you take the substance away down to, you know, one molecule in every billion or so, and there's really nothing left of the medication, but the memory lingers on. The water somehow stores the information, and when it interacts with illness, it corrects the illness. How does it do that? See, that's the reason I wanted to do the show tonight, because to me, this is a stunningly simple way that people with plants can actually experiment with hyperdimensional torsion field physics and get reproducible results.
Now, there's a man named Paracelsus, long time ago, in the 15 or 1600s,
yeah,
and he was saying the same thing.
Sounds Greek to me.
He had actually like 14 surnames or something. A long, huge name. We'll just call him Paracelsus.
Okay.
Now, he said that you could mix like things like arsenic and mercury and things that were very toxic, but he said in very, very minute quantities could be used to heal. Just the essence of these things, only in the right combinations and quantities. Otherwise, it's going to kill you, and it's not good.
Well, this information goes back
a long, long time.
There's homeopathy right there.
And it's an ancient form. So it's been around for, you know, hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. One experiment I really wanted to mention, that you mentioned the light therapy and how it helps. One reason why I think it helps is because of the coherent light, or the monochromatic light from the LEDs. Anything you have order, you know, incandescent light is incoherent.
Mm.
It's varying wavelengths, it's disorder. But if you have laser light and coherent light, it leads to benefit.
Now, keep in mind that lasers and LEDs are not the same.
No, they're not.
But they're very close, and I think you might be able to get by, you know, squeak under the lid of the law there with the narrow wavelength, because they are narrow wavelength.
If you have the right frequency for the right application, pulsing at the right frequency, and that's what the light therapies are trying to mimic, and some of them are very, very effective. But one that I found is extremely noteworthy is called the Ebner effect.
And now, that's a new one on me. I'd never heard of it. What is the E-B-N-E-R?
Correct. Guido Ebner.
Guido?
Guido Ebner.
Spell, please.
G-U-I-D-O.
Ah, okay.
E-B-N-E-R.
Okay.
And what he discovered he had some electrostatic source, something like a Van de Graaff generator, some electrostatic source in his home.
Okay, when did he do these experiments?
This is with within the past few decades.
Okay.
Maybe within the last 20 years. This guy, is, I think he's still alive. There's not much information on him.
Okay.
So I've been trying to dig up anything that I can on this guy.
Guido Ebner. Okay, anybody on the planet that knows Guido, please have him contact Jason.
Please.
Continue.
This guy had some electrostatic source in his house that he was experimenting with, and he had house plants. And he found that his house plants would grow towards the electrostatic source more so than they would want to be in the window with the sunlight.
Wow.
And he found that these house plants, when they're kept next to the electrostatic source, he took the seeds from that plant and then planted a new plant. That new plant was completely different and evolved than the previous plant.
What? You mean it was like a new species? Or
a completely new species never before seen.
Just by being exposed to a constant or varying electric field?
Constant electric field, coherent, like it was like one direction.
Yeah, AC. I'm sorry, DC, not AC.
DC.
Yeah.
So it was like, and then he tried this experiment with trout growing fish in between capacitor plates. So you have a constant electric field in one direction.
Right.
And these trout, the next generation of trout, looked completely different, were larger, were more vibrant, had less organs with more functions. It had a heightened sexual organ on its end of its snout that the other ones didn't have. They seemed to live longer, do healthier. This is weird. So,
or it's a gateway to a whole new science, which
exactly.
is a very old science. Now, you say that in the last 20 years, Ebner disappeared. Did Ebner write any of this down? Did he publish?
There are pictures and there are some documents, side-by-side images of the trout growing, of ferns growing.
Do we have any of these on Radio with Pictures tonight?
No, actually, I just thought of that when you mentioned the light therapy.
Because you have a whole bunch of images. We don't want to miss those. And there's a whole bunch of links. Can you send the trout comparisons? Because that biology, living biology, what water can do if you subject, because remember they're all water practically, but you subject them to a field, a static electrostatic field randomizes the DNA and allows it to bring in other information that has nothing to do with their code, as mainstream now looks at it. That's what you're saying.
Or rather that it's already in the code but becomes enhanced and or promotes evolution.
Well, in other words, it triggers it so it can be expressed.
Correct.
That's an equally – but again, now the next question is how do we design an experiment to find out which is which?
Not up to me.
We'll kind of put that out there for the audience. Somewhere in the world listening to us is ringing and saying, I know how to do that. Okay, so back to the story.
So the point is that when you try to duplicate coherence, there will be massive benefit. So anytime that you try to duplicate graphene, what is graphene? It's a hexagonal matrix of carbon.
I think we have what's known as a hard break coming up.
Okay.
So let's continue this on the other side.
Absolutely.
This is music from an old friend of ours of the show, Chris Rogers, way back east. I don't know whether he's in New York tonight or Boston, but he's going to get clobbered by snow. It's going to snow back there. This is music he wrote especially for The Other Side of Midnight. Here on The Other Side, my name is Richard C. Hoagland, and we shall return. Chris Rogers. We are back on the other side of midnight with my guest this morning, Jason Rebelli, and we're talking about the almost Arthur C. Clarkean magical properties of water if you structure it. Jason, continue, please.
Absolutely. Now, I have in the picture section, with picture, radio with pictures, a few images and comparisons for the audience to look at.
Okay.
Now, in the first image...
Link number two, water structurizers.
Correct.
Oh.
Now, that there are a few different units in there. In the top left is a unit by Dan Winter called the Super Imploder.
Okay.
And that unit I have installed in my backyard, and that was used for growing my organic food. I had about 40 different types of foods, from lettuces to zucchinis and squash and alfalfa and arugula, all sorts of plants.
Okay, two questions.
Yeah.
You've noticed a distinct difference. You've measured it. You've photographed it. You've taken selfies with the alfalfa. You got a distinct difference before and after using the so-called structured water, right?
Correct.
And we have that evidence where? Can we see it? Like comparison?
Well, in the lower left, in the number four, I have the pictures of some of the most spectacular comparisons.
Okay, let's go look then. So we go back to radio with pictures. We go on to number four. Oh, it looks like a greenhouse.
Correct. And this is...
this is exactly what I want. Go for it.
Now, in picture number four, what you see in the upper left-hand corner, now these are images, and the top ones are from a man named Joseph, who developed what's called the Rainmaker Structurizer.
Okay.
Now, he worked with Clayton Nolte, which is the structurizer pictured above with the spheres in it, and I will get to explaining that in a bit. The point is that the water cascades down these units, down a geometric array. The more order that this water flows in with given pressure, the more that it forces the water to split and spin and spin against itself, imitating the magnetic fields.
Mm-hmm. So there's many routes to roam. There's many ways to structure water, and these are kind of static, no power applied. It's just water flowing through the geometry?
Correct.
Like Victor Schauberger.
Exactly. And I also have his picture included because he was a major reason why I started looking into all of this as well. And books by Callum Coates and Victor Schauberger's original writings.
Do you really think that he's right when he looked at migrating salmon and he felt that the only way they could get up those dams was by basically creating a version of anti-gravity using the field?
That there was some vortex, or they used some implosion.
Of energy that just propelled them in the right direction at the right time, and so it's kind of like controlled anti-gravity.
It's using the current in opposition, but using it with it to assist rather than resist.
See, what's his name? De Palma found the same thing with the so-called spinning ball experiment, and he spent decades trying to. This is a physicist guy. He's trying to figure out using all the mainstream mathematics and tools that he's got, and none of it works. And he finally figures out his own theory, which he called the odd field, which is really the torsion field.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it wasn't really as much anti-gravity, it was, you know, sucking energy from a certain direction, adding that momentum to the direction that the object was going, and that's what gave it the illusion of, you know, rising higher in a gravity field with i.e. anti-gravity, but it was really so-called free energy. I hate that term, free energy. So the fish, the salmon, by taking advantage of the vortices in the water, which is structured itself naturally, that's why you need vorticular water in nature to be healthy, it's able to do the same thing that his spinning balls were doing, and I'll bet they know how they're doing it. In other words, I know that they know about the timing, when to jump, when to move, because it's part of their coded DNA immersion in this reality.
Correct. Well, they might not necessarily know they do it, like how a chameleon might not necessarily know that he's changing color. It's just a reaction to the environment around
him. Hey, come on. I saw a dog driving a car today. Seriously. So I will send you the YouTube link. It's the funniest thing. Okay. This dog drives his little kid around in a toy car. He turns at the driveway and at the edge of the grass and doesn't run into the garage. And the dog is driving the kid, and the kid is patting the dog, and the dog is looking very happy. So don't tell me about the limitations of consciousness and life to know what it's doing. We just don't know how to figure out the data stream yet.
Correct. I will give you that. That's Dan correct.
And Robin sent me that link, so I will give her proper credit. She spots all these amazing consciousness stories of other life on this planet. Anyway, sorry, Jason.
Now, when you pray over water, or when you, Dr. Masaru Emoto says, when you send positive thoughts, and you send loving thoughts to the water, it indeed does have an effect. There are studies at major universities where Buddhist monks are concentrating and meditating, sending loving energies to a water or to an experiment, and there are differences. There are measurable differences made, and when the monk stops doing his thing, there are measurable differences in the instant that the monk stops meditating. So the power of prayer, per se, is very valid, but it only lasts for a certain amount of time when you structure the water. Masaru Emoto was able to get those crystallized images because he did it right after he took it out the freezer and then chose the best pictures to use.
Right.
But if you really want to have proof for yourself, pour it on some plants. Or you can replace the water in the fish tank and see how the fish react. And indeed, you'll see they become more vibrant, they become more active, and some of them start swimming in a school as one, which I find really interesting. In a normal fish tank, fish will be floating around and on their own at random.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes if you have the structured water, they float as a school and they swim as one.
Jason, that's astonishingly important information. I mean,
it is.
Imagine
if we all did this together and we're on the same wavelength, so to speak. We're on the same vibration.
Okay, so
then we would be able to move as one, think.
All right, now think about this, all right? We're having this little...
For the benefit of all.
We're having this little debate tonight. You know, is this information coming from within? And the structuring merely triggers it, like the light therapy we discussed at the top of the show. Or, my model, the information is coming from without. It's coming from the field. It's beyond the individual. And what the treatment does, what the structuring does, and using water as the example, it retemplates our antenna so that we are reconnected to the source of the real information. That restructures what's going on here in 3D, so the information is coming from the field. Now, the test that I was just calling for is there in the fish tank. If the restructuring was only internal, each fish would be separate, but if there's a field phenomenon going on, like a Bose-Einstein condensate,
yes,
then the field is giving these little fish access to each other. They're suddenly, quote, one, and they flock and they turn just like huge flocks of birds in the sky do and, you know, huge schools of fish underwater do under the right circumstances. So there's your control. There's your experiment. It's got to be shared consciousness.
Absolutely. That's the importance of this water. Now, it's also been studied by Steven Settlemyer and Gerald Pollack that the inside of the cells, the aqueous material, that water inside of the cells, is negatively charged, and it is that structured water. But it's so minuscule, it's only on the inside of cells. Everything on the outside of the cell is considered bulk water, and it's not structured. But the more that you drink this type of water, and the more that you remain healthy, you exercise, just try to do the right things, don't have to be religious, and just have a healthy routine. And the more that you take in this type of water, the more it will saturate your cells, it will allow for nutrients to be taken by your body more effectively. You hydrate more effectively. I find that I wake up easier in the morning. You just get out of bed. You don't have to laze around for 10, 15 minutes. It puts you in a better mood because you think that you're doing better. But when you pour it on plants, you know it's doing better. So when you put it in yourself, you can know it's doing better because you feel better. And you can see it outside of yourself that, indeed, there's some sort of energy that allows for everything to grow as it's supposed to, some morphogenic or all-include pervasive field.
Mm-hmm.
And so, these technologies, what I'm saying is these technologies give us access to that field with simple rules like order. More order, more benefit, more order, more flow. When you send water, gasoline, wine, anything through these geometric arrays, it will ionize the hydrogen ions. It will pack on the oxygen. It will make wine taste better. It can make for higher alcohol potency for a certain time. Who knows what it can do for kidney dialysis or blood transfusions? If it works for structured water, why wouldn't it work for blood directly?
Hmm.
You could have a medical grade unit, and then
you know it's
have
so
the water,
it's so odd that
blood flow.
Let's go back to radio with pictures because I wanted you to show us this technology. You'd say it's geometric. Geometry is a major buzzword around here. Every time folks hear geometry, they think physics. In this case, that thought is exactly right. So what are we looking – should we go back to number two?
Correct. Number
okay.
two.
Okay.
Now we have the man, Victor Schauberger, in the upper right. Now just below him, what we have is two images. The top image is of Curlian photography. You're looking at a water drop, the energetic state of a water drop. How much electrostatic energy does that project out? How much charge can it retain?
Okay, in ordinary Carillion photography that I'm familiar with let's say leaves on plants, you hook a couple of alligator clips to right. the leaf, and you darken all the lights in the room, and you're going to take a picture, and then you energize the leaf by putting a voltage through the alligator clips and the wire or whatever, and then you take your picture, and what you're seeing is a ionic or electrical discharge glow around the energized leaf.
Correct.
How do you do this with a drop of water?
That I am not sure. That is, I'm not sure. I have to look further into that experiment. Mm. All I know is the results from that particular experiment. It's also explained in the documentary Water, the Great Mystery, and another documentary from 2005 called Top Secret Water, a Russian documentary. They have both of the same experiment on analyzing the
okay, and they the probably explain the experimental setup. Are those down in the links?
No, those two are not. I have so many links. that's why I have that water structurizer PDF. Okay. It is all in that.
It's all in
130
there.
Pages of
excellent.
That, with all these links.
We need good references, and I'm glad we finally found where they are. Okay, so the structurized water, I presume that's the high energy water drop, obviously has a different response to the Carillion electrostatic field photography than the unenergized water.
Correct. Absolutely. And you can see that visually, and you can compare it, which means that there is a lot more energy being retained there, and it has the capability of holding more charge, so that when mm-hmm. you consume this water, you have the ability to retain more charge. Now, that might not see much on a – you're not going to be able to zap people like X-Men. But what I think it means is that you have more amperage per synapse so that you can think more effectively. If you are able to think more effectively, it affects the entire body. Now, the brain might not be the center of the body as the as science believes. I think that the information is stored all throughout the DNA and even throughout the field or whatever you want to call your aura around you. There's some sort of state, essence, that is the reason why your physical body grew to what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that information is sort of pre-programmed somewhere. in the etheric body, I don't know. But I believe that there is a lot of credence to these studies when people claim that there are indeed energetic signatures that can be left from materials in water. There are energetic signatures that are left by people when they pass. And when you drink this type of water or lead to this benefit, you do Qigong or yoga, you put order and routine in your life, it will come to massive benefit.
So when did
simple rule.
When did you start drinking structured water yourself?
About 2008.
Okay.
I've been drinking it ever since, every day.
Okay. And did you keep like a diary? Because Robin
not
has all her patients, you know. Well, see, that's really important because you got to write stuff down. Otherwise, it's just kind of an anecdote hanging out there in the, sorry about this, ether. So basically, you can just give a qualitative report that you feel better now than you used to drinking just ordinary tap water.
Well, that's the beginning of it, yes. But also, I've done a lot of experimentation for myself, as you can see in the lower picture, number 5.
Okay, let's go back to Radio with Pictures.
Yeah.
Back to number 5. Number 5. Okay, I went too far. These little screens are so sensitive. Okay, scrolling down to number 5, right?
Correct.
Okay. Oh, this looks like you with experimentation. Hmm.
Correct. I had that in right behind my chair with my computer for about 4 years. And that was a culmination picture of everything that I had added to it since the time that I had started experimenting with water and was just going crazy, connecting everything that I could possibly find. I met Marco Rodin and learned how to wrap his Rodin coils, mm-hmm. learned about that, and then incorporated that into it. I met with Clayton Nolte, who developed the water structurizer with the spheres. It is stacked spheres on top of each other in a tube,
mm-hmm.
which promotes vortex spin as water cascades through the tube.
Yeah, we have a couple of those. That's the one on the kind of right side of the fish tank.
Correct. That's one the one on the right side, and I duplicated it myself above the fish tank. In Clayton's model, he has 5 pair of spheres. I opened it up, sacrificed the unit, and wanted to know how it worked. I did the same with Dan Winter's unit, cut it open. So then I used their pieces.
I thought they had those booby-trapped. Eh, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it helps to work in a machine shop, too.
Yep.
So what I did is I took their pieces out of their units to see how they worked and then ended up combining them in my own units. So I would use theirs and see how it worked, and then I would get excited and try to combine it with somebody else's unit.
What would happen if you made the spheres out of, instead of little marbles or plastic or glass or whatever, you made them out of neodymium magnets, and you forced all the norths and souths to face each other in a line, then you float water through the spheres in between them, what would happen?
You had better have a good coating around those metals, because you do not want the water to run over metals because it can leach into the water. That's the beauty of magnets, is they don't need to touch the water.
Mm-hmm.
You can have dielectric spheres. You want to have like Teflon or crystal.
So
to promote the static charge on
well,
the inside.
I'm thinking of something that's set it and forget it, because with electrostatics, there are very few electrets that will hold their charge, you know, for a long time. So you do it actively, you know, pumping power through and all that. But, of course, when the power goes off, then there goes your charge. So I was thinking magnets because, of course, magnets are hyperdimensional. Where do you think the energy that powers a static magnet, a what they call, what, not an electromagnet, a
semiconductor?
No, an ordinary magnet, you know, household magnet.
Oh, yeah.
Permanent magnet, they're called.
Yeah.
The permanent comes from the fact that the energy is not in three space. It's higher dimensional. That's a long discussion. We don't have time for it tonight. But okay, so you've got the summation of what, 20 years of research in this one picture?
Well, maybe let's say 10 years. Let's give or take a couple of years. The interesting story about that black box that's pictured in the front.
Right.
I have that. That what that is a magnetic pulsing unit
With the dials on it.
Correct. And interesting story about that box. I got that from a friend. There were six of them made by this guy, and he was studying these magnetic pulsing units and healing himself and other people of ailments, allegedly, let's say. And the FBI took notice to this and kicked in this man's door and confiscated five of the units and sort of in, told him not to make any more of them and keep quiet about it. And but he had one of them in storage, and it remained in storage for about 20 years.
Now, wait a minute. The guy makes this experimental gadget, this box, which is at the bottom of the picture.
Correct.
He turns it on, and the FBI shows up at his doorstep.
After he was bringing it around to people, and those people were claiming to feel better.
Okay, so I thought it was something emanating from the gadget that they picked up with their secret gadget, but it's just word of mouth.
Maybe I don't know. I have never had my door kicked in, and I've had milk and cookies waiting for these people. They just haven't showed you.
See, that's another controlled experiment. The fact that you run this stuff all the time and they haven't kicked your door in. Like John Hutchison has this bizarre story about how he left his equipment somewhere and he went to Germany and he came back and all the intel agencies are pouring all over it and he can't get into his own lab. So it's basically people could not resist telling other people the good news. My God, Mabel, I drank this stuff, and look at what I can do. And then she jumps, you know, the high jump. So it was that that got the FBI to say, wait a minute, this isn't allowed on the landscape. We can't let people really get well.
There's a famous quote, a patient cured is a customer lost.
Yep.
And popularized by Dr. Bob Beck. Anyway, this black box, this FBI, kicked in this guy's door, confiscated what they thought were all of the units, and he had the sixth unit in storage for 20 years, of which my friend was cleaning out the my friend Robert Ote was in contact with this man who built these units, and he got in possession of it and gave it to me.
What was
I going to do with it? I don't know. I was just going to experiment with it. So
which, of course, is why
all over the place.
This is why you're broadcasting tonight from an undisclosed location, right? Hint, hint. You can't find him.
It does do some.
I was going to say. So, what does it do?
Well, it certainly pulses one heck of a magnetic field around, and I haven't seen this large of a magnetic field from that size of a coil before. It's wound in a pancake style, but in a specific configuration where it's almost like a bifiler winding when it's wrapped around itself in a pancake, anti-clockwise. And you're supposed to use the north side, negative. North is negative, south is positive. There's a link I'll get into that later also. So I have this unit, and I was pulsing it under a potted plant at my house, and it was a money tree. This thing hadn't grown in like 3 years. It would occasionally sprout a couple leaves. After I was pulsing this magnetic unit on it, maybe 15 minutes a day, I wanted to see what happened.
What was the pulse frequency?
432 hertz.
Okay, military.
Well, it's not megahertz, just 430.
Oh, 400. Oh, like just above 360.
Correct.
Okay.
It's like, you know, the 440.
Like, I was going to say it's about a C on the piano or something.
An A note, harmonic A note. Okay. And
now that's important.
Very important.
Was that built in? Was that part of the device structure?
No, that was. You can actually tune this from about 8 hertz to.
Oh, how cute.
Something like 30,000 hertz.
Oh, how amazingly cute. Can I get one?
Yeah, sure. What I did is I opened it up.
Of course.
And I took a very detailed video, and I took it to an electric engineer, and we tested it and everything. And I have that video posted on YouTube called The Black Box. You know, everybody has to have a black box. Yep. Apparently, I really have one.
You have one of the only black boxes in the world because the others are orange.
It's the only black box of its type.
Yes, yes. Okay. So, all right. So you put it under the plant, and then you pulsed it at what, 4-something, 400 cycles?
I decided to pulse it at 432,
why?
A harmonic
why?
A note.
Why? Why? Ah,
and it
so you were thinking music. So you were thinking music.
It's a thinking frequency. Yes, a thinking tone.
Okay.
And you can't hear it, but it's pulsing 432 times a second, this magnetic pulse. Bum, 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 bum.
Right.
But if you put a magnet onto it, it will boop, it will resonate at 432. And if you turn it down to 60 hertz, it'll brrr. So a magnet will always be able to identify the frequency, the electric frequency that's around it, because it'll vibrate accordingly and it'll
It'll produce a sound equivalent to the invisible magnetic pulsing.
Correct. Inverse square to the distance of the source.
Okay, so it gets a lot weaker as you get farther away. Okay, look,
correct.
Hold it there. We're about to get much weaker because we're going away. But we shall return. You're on the other side of midnight. We're talking with Jason Rebelli this morning about structured water, perpetual motion, energy from the ether, information restructuring, finding the right template, giving the right pathway, and spreading it all over the world. My name is Richard C. Hoagland, and yes, we shall return. And we are back on the other side of midnight. It's just above 30 degrees tonight. It got kind of chilly. It was gorgeous this afternoon. We were out doing errands. Summer has come. It was actually warm in Albuquerque down the mountain, but it gets chilly at night in the desert. Okay, back to structured water. So you put this whomping big black box with its amazing magnetic field under the plant, and you found that...
That it... seem to affect the growth of the leaves on the money tree, whereas for 3 years it was stunted in growth, and without repotting it, without adding more water, without doing anything different other than cycling through my setup there, and having the magnetics pulsing underneath it, it just seemed to affect the growth monstrously.
Fascinating. So what did you do next?
Well, in that picture, I have a rodent coil. I have the tube of water going through the rodent coil so that I could have the electric field connected to that pulsing unit. So it was electrically pulsing it and magnetically pulsing it, and then you have the cascading water effect through the unit, which is, I'm thinking, mimicking a cavitation.
Mm-hmm.
And the more pressure and the more... vortices that you have acting on each other in a grid, the more it will promote cavitation and benefit.
So how, I mean, you obviously done what, at least a decade worth of experimentation, and that's summed up in this picture. Bottom line is, if people want to actually start using this and experimenting, how do they begin, and how much does it cost, and are you able to provide leads to them? Do they have to kind of, you know, look through the internet all by themselves? Or is there help?
Well, there is help now. I have put together a 130-page PDF, which is Link 6.
Okay.
And that is
called
water
Structurizers. Okay, so I'll click on Link 6, and we'll see what happens. There we are.
That is a very comprehensive compilation of water structurizer units, a lot of links, and things that I want people to scrutinize and test for themselves. It's as simple as stacking marbles in a tube. Get into the routine of experimenting for yourself. grabs, even if it's a toilet paper roll and wadded up pieces of paper, get in the habit of making something, anything. And then once you make something, improve upon it. Okay, a paper towel roll. Well, now I want to use a plastic tube. Well, go get a PVC tube from the hardware store. It's like a dollar. There are things you can do for less than $10 to test these ideas. One idea that was maybe like $100 I put together to try to duplicate this unit called the NEU VG7.
Good heavens. What is that?
Yeah, I know. It's a very long name. It's a Japanese unit. And sorry to keep skipping around, but if you refer back to link 2 with the picture, there are three images on the bottom of that picture underneath the Victor Schauberger. And what it shows is a hexagonal array. And all those are hex nuts. Mm. Like the kind you would just buy from the hardware store and screw onto something. 316L stainless steel hex nuts. Because you don't want to have them rust if they have water flowing over them. Mm-hmm. You can have brass, or you can get nylon. But the more different materials, the more expensive it's going to get. But you can use hex nuts, which stack in an even array already. And what it does is it, I want to say forces, but guides the water to flow in an even array through those tubes. And the more pressure that you have, the more it promotes the spin, and there's more cavitation, more hydrogen ions, and more benefit.
Well, I mean, you look what you've done there in your array. You say you're using hexagonal nuts, and you put them in a hexagonal pattern.
And you have the it's claimed to create hexagonal formations out of the water molecules themselves.
Well, this is why. Again, this is so incredibly experimental demonstration of the torsion field physics, because what you've got there in two dimensions are two interlocked tetrahedra in three dimensions.
Correct.
And spinning tetrahedra, again, interact with the torsion field in a certain way. So it's not amazing to me at all that this geometry replicates fractally, ultimately down to the scale of what I guess Emoto would term crystallized water.
Oh, you're going to love this next, because this relates to how it's now speculated how the sun operates. Now, it was theorized that the sun was a ball of hydrogen gas burning like a kerosene lamp, mm-hmm. and that it was hotter inside the sun than it is on the outside. That is not the case. It is hotter on the outside of the photosphere than it is at the surface or in the core. Now, there is a man named...
Wait. You know, this is an area I kind of know something about.
Okay.
The sun, according to the current Hans Bethe fusing hydrogen model, is about 20 million degrees in the core.
Mm-hmm.
About 10,000 Fahrenheit. 20 million Fahrenheit in the core. About 10,000 Fahrenheit on the surface we see,
yep.
rising to several million degrees in the corona, which you only can see during an eclipse because it's so thin.
Mm.
And no one understands in astrophysics how the corona, which is so much less dense than the photosphere, which is at 10,000 Fahrenheit,
yep.
can be millions of degrees. And the only possibility for explanation is through the torsion field model, and we've actually measured during eclipses and during transits, we traced out what the field looks like and what the waves look like and where the excitation is coming from. And yes, it apparently in three dimensions violates the second law of thermodynamics, which basically says that energy flows from hot to cold. How can you have a 10,000 degree surface and millions of degree gas hovering above it? Where is the energy? The flow should be in the other direction.
And it should, not. Unless there is an electric current, a sustained electric current.
Or another field effect that has not been modeled yet.
Yes.
Not everything is confined to electromagnetism.
No.
In fact,
absolutely.
Most isn't.
Now, there is a man named Dr. Pierre Robitaille and Stephen Crothers. Now, these guys have math and models for the sun, which... it's like a liquid metallic hydrogen, that the pressures are so great that the hydrogen stacks in an array like graphene, and that it becomes a superconducting Almost like a metallic liquid crystal.
So these guys have a really radically different view of the interior of the sun and obviously of the stars.
Yes. But what's interesting to me is that their model for how the for the hydrogen in the sun is like an array like graphene. Mm-hmm. And when you mimic this array in a hexagonal pattern, and you send water through it, it seems that there's more benefit that you have mimicking these things on a macro or micro scale. It just works. And if you can test it for yourself on your plants, firstly, it's water. What's it going to do to hurt you? Nothing.
Yep.
There's no claims other than it's water, and that's about it. There's nothing to it, folks. It's just the way that you treat water and the way that you treat yourself. And even Bruce Lee was saying, be water, my friend. We are water, so like Emoto, what we think affects the water and affects everything around us. There is a morphogenic field, there is an ether, there is a zone, whatever we want to call it. There is something greater than ourselves that is all-pervasive, and our thoughts affect it, electricity affects it, and some other force is existent. That is not acknowledged, but mimicking order, mimicking these arrays and geometry seems to get us closer to that. And when we mimic these in our own life, I call it atomic feng shui.
Not bad. Okay, now we got some other images here. What's number three?
Number three is a comparison of blood cells before and after drinking this type of water.
Oh, now this is cool.
Okay. Now, these are from all different sources. We have people who say that their water is called MRET, MRET water. And there is another biomagnetism.
Or probably standing for memory retention.
I want to do it justice, so I don't want to misquote what it is.
But it's another structurizer. It's another mechanical geometric structurizer, right?
Correct.
And you flow the water through it, and bingo, then you drink it, and look at what you get when you take a spot of blood and put it under a microscope.
You see a bunch of rouleaus and symplasts, which means that the blood cells are clumped together, and they are... But what I found is they are like a bunch of broken-up magnets that you just stuck together in a clump. But if you drink the water, you can see within 10 to 20 minutes later that your cells become like magnets that are repulsive against other magnets, that they retain their individuality, that they have more surface area to absorb oxygen, to deliver the right nutrients, and it is a visible benefit. And this isn't just for one source. There is a black and white photo down there. It's like a drawing, and that's from Walter Russell from...
Oh, my God.
The
Walter Russell? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Walter Russell changed my life. That's and I didn't even discover him until maybe 2010, 2011.
Okay.
But his work is included there, and he also saw that there is an effect with blood. Same with Victor Schauberger. Same with the water, the great mystery. That is where the lower left-hand corner image is from. The blood on the left, and then the lady drank the water, and then her blood showed a massive benefit on the right.
You know, I wonder if anybody has done or could do control metabolism experiments. You know, when people are trying to lose weight and they go to a doctor and they're put on a strict diet, and the ultimate diet is where you measure every single gram, and you measure intake and output, and you measure waste materials, you measure respiration. You basically are trying to encapsulate the human body as a metabolism, you know, taking food in, metabolizing it, and producing energy and waste products, okay?
As a machine.
If you could do the same thing with this system, with water, just adding this structured water to that set of equations, I'm wondering if you would actually find that there is more energy coming out of the metabolism than is actually going in terms of the traditional calorie content of the food.
That is the claim, is that there is more energy in the bonds making up the molecules than what science is giving credence to. Mm-hmm. Now, they're saying there is so much energy in hydrogen, so much energy in oxygen, so much energy in the molecule, but it's the arrangement of the bonds of the molecule and their spin that dictate how much charge they can retain, how much they can deliver, and how much more benefit that they can serve. And it is different. But it takes a little bit of work with geometry or an electric current in order to render the water into that state. And there are other effects. I've seen side-by-side videos from at least two different people, a Japanese man and, again, this Gerald Pollack's group. They had combined this different type of activated water with gasoline. And I think that's what Paul Pantone of GEAT was ultimately trying to get to. And what it did is it reduced the amount of gas that you needed to to use while maintaining the same combustion rate. So you could use the same amount of gas for longer while incorporating this type of water. Regular water, not going to cut it. Plop, 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 plop. You're going to go out.
Right.
But with this, it actually combusts with the gasoline. It emulsifies oil with water. Oh, another huge thing is that it eats through plastic. Excuse me, that when I had this conversation with Steven Settlemyer just 2 days ago, I informed someone I was having this interview and I wanted to prep for Structured Water and, you know, reach out to more people. And this guy called me and got to find out more about his Easy Water. He and Gerald Pollack, and they have a company called DaviniaWater.com. And
clever little metaphor there.
It's this water, this guy distills the water 14 times, sends it through an electric current with microwaves at 5,000 volts, and then it, like you were saying, that Bose-Einstein condensate, it creates this 2D electron sheet radially, and it energizes the water somehow in this resonant cavity. It's a technical process, but the result is that it retains its structure indefinitely in this new state. When you pray over water, when you do these structurizing methods, it will last for a temporary time. Some, depending on it, it might only last a nanosecond.
Like, depending upon how good at prayer you are.
Yeah, but some might last 2 days. Like if you use a device and have the right water pressure and everything, there's a science to it. And it's real. One thing I want to say about that. A lot of people don't try because they don't think something's real. Now, there are four scenarios in life. It's real and you try. It's real and you don't try. It's not real and you try. It's not real and you don't try. Now, if something is real and you don't try, well, you're never going to discover it. It's lost forever. And boo-hoo. If something is real and you do try, well, then you have an excellent chance at discovering it and reaping benefit for you and others around you. If it's not real and you don't try, you lost nothing. Cool. But if it's not real and you try, then you can still discover something wonderful along the way and then learn from your mistakes on what not to do. But ultimately, whenever you try, you eliminate two out of four scenarios and will discover some benefit in your life. All you have to do is try with what you believe in. I believe in the structured water. I've sought out the research for myself. I've done the experiments for myself. And I have proven conclusively to myself that there is benefit. Now I'm trying to show other people the side-by-side comparisons, what I have done, what other people have done, in a cohesive flow, and have other people try it too, for the least amount of money possible, for the most amount of benefit.
Have you seen these YouTube videos kind of floating around where little girls take little cups of water and they have their little plants and they're feeding their little plants water and they take the water and they put it in a microwave oven.
Ooh.
And they heat the water up and then they let the water cool back down to room temperature and they feed their little plants and the plants promptly die. And the message of this set of videos is microwave water will kill you. don't ever, ever, ever. And somewhere the other day, someone posted the caveat, which makes all of that I just described meaningless. And I can't remember what the caveat is, but it's not the same. In other words, it's something else that's going on when you microwave water, and not in terms of removing its advantageous properties, these vorticular spins. Because what microwaving water does is, of course, increase spins. It can't help but increase spin. The question is, what kind of spin? And that's where you get back to geometry.
And that's what I'm thinking is, it might be increasing the current incoherent spin. And what you need to do is distill the water, split the water in a magnetic field, which will then force it, when it recombines, to spin in the same direction.
Yeah.
And that's the key, is coherence. What happened to the trout and to those electrodes and the plants in electrostatic? They grew. They evolved. They benefited. Why? Because of coherence. Anytime you mimic coherence, even if it's with LED lights and a light therapy, anytime you mimic coherence, you're going to have some benefit. Now, if you do it the smaller and smaller scale, like nanotechnology, then you might not even need a structurizing unit. You can just pour some water through a film, and it might have the same benefit as if you send it through high water pressure through this unit. Depending on the technology, follow order and follow the hexagons and the honeycombs and the geometry. Anytime you do that, you're going to have benefit. I don't care if it's you drinking water, gasoline, wine, or just stacking marbles in your house for just aesthetically to look good. Anytime you have order, it's going to look nice and benefit you some way.
Well, it's called aesthetics. Why do you think things like the golden mean and the right architecture and the right perspectives and all that has meaning? Because there's resonance in the field with us, with our consciousness, with our aesthetic sense, our aesthetic appreciation. That's why some things are really cool and other things go, ah, it's like fingernails on a blackboard.
If I had it my way, I wouldn't have any flat surfaces in the room. No flat walls, no parallel. Everything would have a radius of curvature to it and wouldn't be parallel. That way you could retain the electric charge in a room, and the airflow would be good. You wouldn't have any corners where bacteria would grow. It just everything would be...
Well, it sounds to me like architecture is up ahead for you in designing the livable environment. But before we get there, healing. We're surrounded by a lot of very ill people. How does this, if you drink this steadily, structured water, are you going to have a more healthy, free existence separate from the usual maladies that we all get?
Cumulatively, I say yes.
Okay.
You do.
And now, is there
clinical data on this?
Is there nursing home data on this? Is there any data? Because obviously that's what people are going to ask next.
Nursing home data, I don't know, but I want to find that out, and within the next 24 hours, I'm going to know. There is data on kidney function. There's data on liver function. There's data on sewage treatment.
This is cool, I think.
go
ahead, tentatively, go ahead.
There's data that it...
I knew there was a reason I called this
clothes,
a dump button.
Laundromats can use this because you don't need to use as much detergent or any soaps. I actually got rid of my I don't use any hot water. I added a ozone washing unit, so it uses the ozone to help clean the clothes to cut down on the bills.
Okay.
So if you don't need oil to don't need an emulsifier to mix the oil and water, if you don't need as much gasoline, if you don't need as much water to hydrate yourself, and you can, if this water can eat plastics, like, you know, clean up oceans, if this water can...
Yeah, but wait. Plastic is organic. Plastic has a lot of hydrogen and carbon and other things, and so are we. What's the difference?
There isn't.
No, why doesn't it eat us?
Oh, well, we're not synthetic plastic.
Well, the term synthetic is meaningless because a molecule is a molecule is a molecule, but what makes that, why does it dissolve plastic and doesn't dissolve us?
And Gerald Polak and Stefan Settlemyer don't know. They said it was scary and weird, but this water
has
properties that it's scary and it's different, and we don't know.
See, you are too young to be in the heyday of Coke. Coca-Cola?
Yeah, thank goodness.
But there was a time when people could take Coke and go out to their rusted bumpers and pour a glass, a bottle, a beautiful shaped bottle of Coke onto the rust and take a cloth and rub it, and bingo, the rust all went away. And of course,
people are doing that now.
And well, it's, just, it's the same recipe. And it's like, wait a minute, why does it make the bumper really shine? And what happens when I drink this stuff? So the question about structured water attacking plastic, given that plastic is organic, organic molecules just strung together like we are, the difference has to be living versus non-living. That's got to be the determiner. So if this material arrives in the correct field, in the correct template, i.e. a living system, it will do efficacious things. It'll improve efficiency. It'll return to the normal parameters. But in a non-living system, which is out of sync with the environment because it's dead, it's definitely at a different energy level, it's not, it, you wouldn't normally find it in nature because it would be oxidized to nothing quickly, it basically returns that pattern to its normalcy, which is it amplifies oxidation and it goes away quickly.
It's like a stem cell, but for nature itself, really. It, yeah,
this is not everything. Normal non-biological experimentation. There's something else here. Jason, you're
correct.
On the urge of some other discoveries linking them together, like a James Burkean set of connections. Okay?
Very good, yeah.
So we
also have to not be afraid to involve consciousness and go so far as to say that our own thoughts or connection to something greater is possible, and that is what is the cause in driving some of these phenomena. There's got to be some, whatever the ether or whatever people want to call it, it's not electromagnetism. There's something else. Something else.
Mm-hmm. Now, the reason the Russians call it a torsion field, Jason, is because torsion is comes from torque, rotate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a rotating, it's a vorticular field, it's the vorticular ether. So anytime you have a vortex, particularly if you have more than one and they are sliding past each other and you're getting displacement currents, you're getting more vorticity,
you get
a situation where energy can enter a formerly closed 3D system. And that's
absolutely. That's another show altogether.
Yes, of course.
That's what Professor John Searle says happens with nuclear remediation and a possibility with his magnetic device is that...
Now, wait a minute. John Searle is getting into nuclear remediation? Because the last time I touched bases with John, he had this ring, from his experiments decades ago, and it lifted up and it flew away, and they've been trying to replicate that technology. I did not know that John was now looking at nuclear remediation in terms of his experiments.
Absolutely. Well, he originally said that he did experiments with some strontium or some nuclear material in a vial in the center of his unit, and when he ramped up and drew a load to power things, within like an hour or so, it was completely nuclear inert. It was still strontium, but it wasn't nuclear reactive at all. So you could have used fuel rods and remediate just from powering a home or a device, the benefit of that, if you have something in the center of that ring, it could, the way he puts it is it allows for neutrons to be injected into the magnetic field, like from the outside.
Okay.
And
I don't think John has a clue about the underlying theory. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Well, maybe not nobody.
Well, no, maybe not.
My guest this morning, Jason. We're on the other side of midnight. My name is Richard, and we shall return. Thank you. And we are back on the other side of midnight. One last half hour to go, plus or minus. So John is looking at nuclear remediation. Where is the current state of the experimentation?
Well, that's the reason why I moved from the San Francisco Bay Area to San Diego here to fully help redevelop this man's technology.
Oh dear.
That's what we are doing.
Oh dear, you're just giving away your undisclosed location.
Oh, not, of course.
FBI are homing in even as we speak. Anyway.
Oh, please come by and see what we're doing. We have nothing to hide. We want to share that. It's when you have things to hide and you claim that you have the answers to make them all obsolete and that you will do away with them, that's when they kick in your door. But when you invite them in, you say, hey, this is what I'm doing, and send them an email, but they're not going to bother you, so you have nothing to...
Well, if they bother you, let's hope it happens on live radio, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so back to nuclear remediation. What has he done currently? Because this is so extraordinarily... I mean, look at Hanford, look at Fukushima, look at, Chernobyl, Three Mile Island. We could go on and on and on. People are terrified of nuclear energy, which in certain circumstances is the short-term answer, because of all the incredible downsides. I mean, Fukushima is enough to make you never want a nuclear reactor within a continent of you, and not even then. So what is John doing now to use this physics to show that the problem can be made to basically melt away?
Well, John Searle now will be 84 years old, and it's pretty much up to us to redevelop his technology. Everything he did was in the past, and that's what we are aiming to redevelop.
Okay.
His claims are that this device puts out this coherent electric field. Again, a coherent electric field, the same type that Guido Ebner evolved these plants and these fish in his experiment. The same coherent electric field said to structurize this water in these experiments. The same types of rules. So I'm bringing up the John Searle thing because it's that same energy, and it's the same, a different method to achieve that same goal. And these technology, whether it be the structured water, I'm wondering if his device would structure water itself. If he had a glass of water in the center of his device and ramped it up, would it structure the water?
Why don't you describe his device, and we don't have a picture of it, and it's probably too late now to get one up there, but you can try to paint us a word picture. How does it work? What does it look like?
It looks geometrically perfect. It is three concentric rings.
Okay.
With a bunch of other segments and rollers around them. We call them segments. There are eight segments stacked to make one roller, which is a cylinder in eight sections. Now, there are 12 of those around the first concentric ring. There are 22 around the second, 32 around the third. So you have a set of three rings with a bunch of rings orbiting that in epicycles.
I was going to say, it sounded very Ptolemaic epicyclic.
It's like a planetary gear, but out of magnetic fields. And what this man discovered is a way to magnetize materials to imprint or embed a frequency, not just north-south, but actually embed a frequency. So when these magnets rotate in the specific configuration, they reproduce this frequency so you don't need an outside signal. And what it achieves,
so wait. This epicyclic-looking thing, yeah, kind of looks like a series of concentric HO gauge model train sets? With the rollers rotating all in the same plane in the same
all
direction?
All around them.
Okay.
Now, are the
magnets permanent magnets, or are they electrically being energized by some pulsing current?
They're permanent magnets.
Ah.
And but they're very strong. Specific configuration. So there's neodymium, raw neodymium element 60, not magnetized. There's a neodymium, then a dielectric like Teflon, mm-hmm, and then the magnet, and then copper. And there's a bunch of functions that these materials serve. But in short, it acts like a hydroelectric dam on the quantum scale, where it absorbs this incoherent energy around it, mm-hmm, and converts it into a coherent wavelength, which then outputs it as electricity and drops the temperature as a result. And what it does is it puts...
Didn't John also have a small nagging problem with anti-gravity?
Yes, he did.
Describe that.
What he did when he first said that he put this thing together, first he had them the pieces professionally manufactured at the electric company where he worked. This isn't something he just put together by himself.
This is in Britain in the 1950s, 60s?
Early 50s.
Okay.
And then again in the early 60s. There was many different projects over the course of time. But the first efforts that he did with this, he had these pieces manufactured by factory workers and machinists at an electric company. He took them home and assembled them. He plugged in something a light, trying to see if it would power it. It did. It spun up, spun faster instead of heat up and slow down. Mm-hmm. So he plugged in a cooker. It spun faster. He plugged in an iron. It spun faster.
When you say a cooker, you mean what? Like one of these open hot plates?
Yeah, correct. Not a toaster, but like a little
hot plate.
A little cooker oven thing.
Okay. Toaster oven. That's what
the toaster oven. And it after he plugged in this third appliance and drew too much energy, apparently, it cooled down too much, became superconductive, and lifted to his ceiling. But nobody told him that wasn't supposed to happen. So he actually tried to grab it from the inside, and his hands sort of froze to it, but not like licking a cold telephone pole. Sort of, your hand is made up of incoherent waves and electrons, and so when he brought his hand near the device, it organized the makeup of his hand so much that it, incoherence is heat, but if it makes your hand coherent, what happens? Your hand freezes.
Yeah.
So it was electrostatically sort of stuck to this device, and his landlady was pour hot water on it and beat it with a broomstick until it ceased its function and came back down, like the Meissner effect. You pour liquid nitrogen on a superconductor and a magnet, it'll lift off of the magnet.
But Jason, isn't this telling you, like, ding, 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 there's a huge insight in what you just described?
Absolutely. This is like, well, again, this is a whole other show, but this is... part of the reason why it's another step, huge, key, as to what is going in the dynamics of the cause of
exactly.
All this.
So get into, speculate. What do you think, based on this evidence, because I've got my own ideas, but what do you think is going on, and what you just described, at the faster it worked, the faster it spun, the more energy that came through it, the colder it got, and it froze his hand to it, like the kid that sticks their tongue on the lamp pole because they're on a dare in the middle of a 20 below zero.
It's not like that.
No, it's not like that.
Yeah.
But
it's different. It's at the quantum level, if you want to say. It's dealing with the inherent kinetic energy of the electron itself, and is the randomness is disorganized electricity on the quantum scale.
Mm.
His device is said to organize that energy. So
have this balance between disorganization and organization.
Entropy, chaos and order.
Entropy and negentropy, chaos and order.
Now here's something different that I've recently been thinking about, the entropy and negentropy, because entropy and negentropy are both subject to a closed system. We are dealing with an open system.
Mm.
And does entropy apply to an open system?
Well, it applies in the subsets. In other words, you can decrease entropy in a 3D reality and have zero effect in a 4 or 5D. Because the energy and the information content is different at every level.
It's all pervasive, and it's at different levels, correct? It's at like an onion or something. So the shape of the energy, if you want to look at it like that, is like a dual torus. Is a donut folding in on itself on the top, donut folding itself in on the bottom. So it's polar absorption and equatorial emission. It's like Saturn's rings out and in at the poles.
Mm-hmm. Well, people have seen diagrams of the Van Allen belts and the donut shape and all that. It's the same geometry. It's the fundamental geometry. Did we skip over closed and open systems too fast? Because a lot of people, Joseph Farrell is talking about economics in terms of closed and open systems, human civilization in terms of closed and open systems, energy in terms of closed and open systems. So what this technology is doing, it's opening, as we've said earlier in the show, gateways to a region of reality, other dimensions is a good term for them, where that information, that energy enters our formerly closed system, thereby providing an opening, an open system.
Or our seemingly closed system.
Yes,
yes. That idea came from the Big Bang, where everything at the same time, I don't really buy into all of that, per se. So I look at things as more of an infinite, and you trying to pinpoint the beginning and end of something infinite is
But it's infinite foolish. Going through all kinds of different permutations and changes. Otherwise, it would all be the same stuff. And yes. You only get reality when you get differentiated stuff, is my friend.
But you get benefit when all this chaotic differentiating stuff, you add a little bit of order to it. Because we're so bathed in chaos all the time, we don't even know the context of order. So when people get a little bit of it, they think it's too good to be true.
Okay.
When people hear about water that can make plants grow better and make you feel better and make gasoline burn better, it's too good to be true. No, it's geometry and order and science and experiments, cavitation and physics and spin. And it's just...
Okay,
It's the coolest stuff in the world.
The part here that's really important for people to take away this morning is that we're talking about reproducible science.
Yes.
Forget what the textbooks say. Forget what Harvard says. Forget what the president's science advisor says. Forget what Michio Kaku says. Forget what all those guys say.
Yes.
Just take some plants and start doing this and watch and record. Please record, write it down, take pictures, take selfies with your plants. Love your plants, love them equally, and you'll see results. And that's what's so amazing. It's so simple, but it has such a cascade of implications, because if your lettuce likes it, or your tomatoes, or your snap peas, or whatever, what about you? What about your dog? What about your cat? You know, and by the way, Jason, we have some folks that want to join the conversation. You want to open up the lines? And
absolutely, please.
Okay. Oh, so you're bored with me. Okay. All
right. Oh, no. I thought you were bored with me.
Torch, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, I got a question about Coral Castle. Is that the same type of device that Edward Leedskalnin?
Leedskalnin, yeah. And obviously Jason is very familiar with Coral Castle, so
yeah.
Jason, go ahead, answer, please.
No, it is not the same type of device. Ed Leedskalnin had a magnetic flywheel made of a bunch of V magnets that were stacked five on top of each other. And he actually had that after he built a lot of the castle.
Mm.
I don't think people realize that. It's like people thought that he floated stones into place using the flywheel. But how did he build most of the castle before he built the flywheel? He used a lot of information on leverage and pulleys and physics, and he had a lot of information on magnetism and electricity, a lot. And I think he used a lot of that to make reciprocating engines to cut the stones, and he lifted them. I don't think it was levitation like people want to think, which I thought
for
years.
I've done a lot of experimentation at Coral Castle. I have measured the energies.
I have seen experiments, but I don't know.
Okay.
I've seen, because there's this guy made by one man on YouTube, and he has replicated a lot of Coral Castle by himself already.
Oh, like,
built a 30-foot tripod by himself. Mm-hmm. This guy is putting in some work.
So the key is, if we went over with the Accutron and measured the energetics of his stones, would we get the same signature we got at Coral Castle?
Probably not.
Torch, anything else?
That's about it. Back up all your stuff. They might be coming for you.
I got it on four different hard drives. Right?
And hide the black box.
Yeah. I don't even know where it is. No, I'm sitting.
Good. Okay.
Oh, I got it.
All right, back to healing. Oh, we got some more folks here. Let me ask my healing question. You can circle Idlewild for a moment. Do you have documentation of people who have taken the structured water and who are different? In other words, they had ailments before, the ailments went away. The doctor said, I can't find anything wrong with you, et cetera, et cetera. Do we have that in some file somewhere, in some link?
Yes. In the P PDF of the structured water link, you should find links to Dr. Gerald Polak. He has PDFs of at least two people, clinical study of liver function, and there was a kidney failure, and the structured water alone replenished the organ, not needing a transplant.
And that's pretty dramatic. Because if you're at the edge of a transplant,
those two studies.
Yeah, that's
so. I'm going to forward you some more because I know I have more, but I want to do the information justice. I don't want to misspeak, but I have at least those two, which there are more.
Excellent. Okay, caller, you're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I just wanted to ask: is it matter what type of water I start with to create structured water? Could it be gray water, RO, distilled?
It's from what I understand, it's best to have distilled.
You don't want all that other weird chemistry going on in the water when you're trying to isolate one effect.
I do is I filter my water. I have a chlorine filter from Home Depot, from the house, from the tap, and then I have what's called a Cerametix, 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 and that's the company, and they have this really special filter. It's bone char filter and a fluoride-specific filter. It takes out 99% of the fluoride. So before I structurize it, I take out all of the chemicals, good and bad, all the minerals. I distill it.
So you just have water.
And then I remineralize it using Dr. Willard's water, which has some magnesium and silicate and other beneficial stuff in there.
So you add dopants in a precise amount from this Dr. Willard.
Correct.
Back up to a certain level of minerals, but now you know exactly what's in the water.
Correct. And I know the pH, it's more alkaline. So that's what I do. I filter it before, because filtering is not structurizing. What you want to do is, the theory behind it is that you want to remove all of the chemicals and toxins because the structurizing will enhance the frequency of whatever is already in there. So you want to remove what's in there.
Is it still structured water if it's in a hydro system where you add nutrients or say... Once you add ingredients, is the structure...
It still retains the structure, yes. And it will retain it for some time, let's say up to 48 hours after it's active.
Oh, I have so many questions, guys. I'm sorry to jump in, but if I don't...
No, it's fine.
Caller, you are asking really amazing questions, because my next question is, if you mix nutrients in water, and you say you have a nutrient-rich hydroponic system, and you structure the water, it would add to the efficacy, to the efficiency of the hydroponic system. In other words, it would make stuff grow bigger, better, healthier, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It seems
right?
to get rid of stuff like the cancers and seems to promote the beneficial stuff. It just does it. Like it seeks, like a white blood cell just does what it does.
Here's the $64,000 question for the night. Has anybody tried growing marijuana on structured water? And if
yes.
they have, what is the effect?
It was a 30% greater yield. There are side-by-side comparisons on Dan Winter's site, which I included in that PDF.
Okay. What about the effects on the smoker or the consumer themselves?
One other thing is that pests don't really bother the plants when you use this water. You need less water. It can sustain drought more, and bugs don't really get on the plants.
So back to my consciousness question.
Yeah.
Does it increase the effect on consciousness of smoking pot if the pot is grown in structured water?
I would assume so, but no.
We need data. We need numbers. We need someone done this. Come on, we have a burgeoning industry.
I don't think so. I don't think that anybody has actually done this. Is so new. There's so many undiscovered applications and studies for this in every regard. This is like an entire new branch of science.
I mean, there's a huge industry, growth industry now, medical marijuana. What if they could add to their list of properties if you basically potentiate by using a structurizer?
They are.
Okay. Then
they are in the Bay Area, in the San Francisco Bay Area. Okay. I know quite a few people in that industry that are trying new methods and who pay attention to the links, and they do the electrostatic experiments, and they do find benefit, and it does work, and they're quite happy people.
Because that in itself would add a whole dimension to the medical marijuana discussion. For instance, if you're using medical marijuana to treat cancer, all right, directly, you know, not to, you know, relieve pain or nausea from, you know, chemotherapy or all that, but you're using marijuana, particularly strains, particularly, you know, percentages THC and CBD to achieve a cancer remission. What happens if you grow those plants in structured water so that whatever effect the marijuana has on dissolving the cancer, re-templating that cancer?
Now, what would happen if you also combined that electrostatic experiment of Guido Ebner with the cannabis plant to get a new evolution and a new genesis of it altogether?
Oh, my God, the FDA will definitely come after you tonight.
I have so many ideas. If people funded me like they funded NASA, I guarantee a world that Rod Serling would be. We have a
vast audience. They have funded Dave Dissler to the tune of several thousand dollars for equipment. Jason, if you need equipment to set this up, what do you need? How much is it, you know, and where can we log on to provide you through PayPal with some funding
so we actually
get this?
Nope. That's one thing about me. Nope. No donations, no money. You do it yourself. You do it for free. You do it with the resources that you have, and I'll try to do it for mine and let you know on my end. No money, no paying, no.
Okay. So you have a different model.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, everything's free. If it's not for free, then, you know, question it.
But see, most people, even though they might like to, and I'm very glad that caller called in and asked you the important questions about what kind of water and all that, because he's obviously motivated to want to do something.
Good.
But the number of people who actually can do something versus the number of people who look to see what's been done are totally disproportionate. So it seems to me that it might be useful to fund experiments so that people can see, yes, this works, this works, this works, because they don't have the time.
Absolutely. And what I'm saying is fund these brilliant people who I believe in. Not necessarily me, because I think there are much more qualified people than myself to do it. So I'm just trying to let people know about the existence of these things, that I myself have done experiments that validate it, and to pay attention to these really brilliant guys and gals who can make it happen. And I just consider myself a messenger and a free thinker experimenter. But if you really want to fund people, I have a list of people who could really use the help.
Okay. We seem to, because of the wondrous magical wand of Keith and Rich, we have the Ebner effect up as a video on Radio with Pictures.
If you can, good.
If you can zap back there and tell us what we're looking at, we've got 4 minutes till the end of the show. I don't know how long this is. Maybe we can just narrate what it will tell you when you click on it. But apparently here's Guido Ebner, right, on a video.
Boy. Yeah, there's actually no audio in the video. I'm telling you, there's not a lot of information on this guy, but he does have, if you go to Rex Research, REXResearch.com,
yeah, they're a well-known alternative science.
It's like thousands of patents in there.
Yep.
You're in there, Richard. Everybody's in there.
Everybody, yes.
So this man, Guido Ebner, is just to be praised. His work is absolutely incredible, and I think it will lead to the evolution of ourselves and maybe fruits all this stuff. One thing I learned from this Native American gentleman with seeds and fruits and stuff. Mm-hmm. Is if you eat a seed and you pass it through your system and you pass it all the way and you actually find the seed again, it will have passed through your system and somehow bonded with your DNA so that when you grow that specific plant, you won't have any allergens to it and it will be specific to your DNA. And if you keep growing foods under that specific seed, it'll be specific to what the nutrients you need, and it will actually grow to supplement what you're deficient in.
These are wondrous experiments, and anybody can do them. Even in an apartment, you can do this. Okay, we've got a couple of minutes. We have two websites I want you to plug now, Searle Magnetics and the Searle Solution. Tell us
Correct.
About both.
Well, this is in 2010, we started this effort to redevelop this man, Professor John Searle's technology. And we have about 50-plus investors so far, small scale, that have allowed for us to get the industrial equipment, you know, pay the rent, and get the facility that we have today. And CyrilMagnetics.com is the information of what we are trying to achieve in redeveloping this man's technology for the benefit of everybody, to get rid of the need for gasoline and oil, and to even supplement wind farms and solar farms and existing industry. Not just take over industry, make things obsolete, but work with people step by step and give benefit without opposition.
Okay. And how far along are you in duplicating some of the experiments?
I'd say about 65-70% of the way. We just need a little bit. The magnetization alone requires over a megawatt, 1 million watts, just to magnetize the large stator rings. So in order to get that power source, that costs money. In order to pay the engineers we need to hire, that costs money. It's about 18 months full-time work.
If you're not accepting public donations, how are you raising the funds?
Well, Cyril Magnetics, Inc. is a corporation that was selling shares and memberships. But okay. Only accredited investors could purchase the shares, which was a severe limit on whoever could financially contribute. No fundraisers, no Kickstarter, no Indiegogo. The only legal way for funding for the last 6 years was if accredited investors purchased shares. Mm-hmm. But now we are reformatting the company. We are going to be, because when you start a corporation, you have to list it as a specific type of entity, and a specific entity that was established cannot entertain.
Well, Jason, on that note, which is a positive note, we've reached the end of another show and the end of another week. Everyone, have a wonderful weekend. So glad you could be with us this week. Next week, we have some interesting surprises, ranging from David Icke to maybe a trail tracking a distant perception of what a president of the United States is doing all the way down in Patagonia. So until next time we meet, remember, third star on the left, straight on till morning.